سورة الفتح إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا ليغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا. Indeed, we have given you a clear victory, that Allah may forgive you your mistakes of the past and the future, and complete His favor on you, and guide you on the straight path, and that Allah may help you with a mighty help. It is He who sent down calmness into the hearts of the believers, that they may grow more in faith along with their present faith. And to Allah belong the armies of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is ever all-knower, all-wise. That He may admit the believing men and the believing women to gardens under which rivers flow, to live therein forever, and He may expiate from them their sins. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And that is with Allah a supreme success. Now, what does Surah Fath refer to? We need to understand the background of the surah first. We find that the Prophet ﷺ had a dream one night in which he saw himself with other Muslims doing the Umrah, performing the Umrah around the Kaaba. Now, for 6 years, the Muslims had been debarred from entering Makkah. So you can imagine, since the Prophet's dreams are true, you can imagine the joy with which this news was received by the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ set out with 1400 of his followers. Now at first the Muslims were confronted by a dilemma. They did not know whether they should take their weapons with them in case the Meccans attacked them, or that they should not take their weapons with them. So what they decided to do was, they went out armed with nothing more than their traveler's swords. Now when the Meccans learned that the Muslim pilgrims had set out from their city, they were shocked. They realized that they were coming for Umrah. Now the Meccans were in an equal dilemma, because if they prevented the Muslims from performing the Umrah, they would face the censure of the Arabs, that, you know, the custodians of the Kaaba had violated the truce month. They were the months of peace. However, they decided not to allow the Muslims to enter the city. And so they sent out a cavalry group under the command of Khalid bin Walid to stop them. But the Prophet ﷺ learned that the cavalry group was approaching, and so he asked his followers if someone knew of another way to Makkah. And then one of them did, and he guided the Muslim pilgrims through some narrow passes until they reached a field called Hudaybiyah. The famous Pact of Hudaybiyah was made over here. Now what happened was that a message was sent to the Muslim camp by the Meccans. They brought back their cavalry. But they sent a message ordering them that you're not going to be allowed to enter Makkah. The Prophet ﷺ sent Hazrat Usman to talk to the Meccans, to negotiate with them and, you know, persuade them that let them do Umrah. But what happened was that he was delayed, and some of the Muslims feared that he had been killed. And when the Prophet ﷺ thought that Hazrat Usman had been killed, he gathered the Muslims under a tall tree and he took a pledge from them that if the Meccans had killed Hazrat Usman, then the Muslims would fight back, and they would fight back till the death. And this was called Bay'atul Ridwan, and that will be mentioned later on in the verses. Now what happened was, Hazrat Usman returned, so they did not need to carry out that pledge, but an official delegation from Makkah arrived. And that's when the Pact of Hudaybiyah was drawn up. Now what were the basic terms of the Pact of Hudaybiyah? And this is important to understand, because this is what the whole surah deals about with. The main points were that there would be 10 years of peace between the Muslims and the Kafirs. No hostile moves would be made by either side. Both sides would be allowed to make alliances with whom they pleased. And any Meccan man who left and joined the Muslims without the permission of his family would be forcibly returned. But if a Muslim went and joined the Meccans, then he would not be returned. Now you can see the injustice of that. And then that there would be no pilgrimage this year for the Muslims. Those Muslims who had come with the hope of finally seeing the Kaaba after so many years would be returned. But they would be able to perform it the following year for 3 days. Now we read this pact, and ostensibly it seems harsh and unfair against the Muslims. To make matters worse, right after the pact had been drawn up, one of the Meccans, Abu Jandal, who had become a Muslim and who was being tortured by his family, managed to escape to the Muslim camp and threw himself before the Prophet ﷺ, imploring him that, keep me with you, don't send me back. If you do, they'll kill me. And the Prophet ﷺ had to send him back. And he had to tell him, Abu Jandal, be patient and control yourself. Surely Allah will make some way out for you and for the weak in Makkah. We have bound ourselves to make peace between us and the Meccans, and we have exchanged the pact of Allah, and we will not break that. And so Abu Jandal had to be led away in front of the weeping Muslims. Now you can imagine the response of the Muslims to this fact, that when it was over, they had to watch a fellow Muslim being taken away, and they knew he was going to be tortured. And to make matters worse, no Umrah this year. They had to return home in seeming humiliation. So the Muslims were just standing around in shock disbelief. And the Prophet ﷺ told them that, you know, it's time for you to shave your heads now. Because even if we haven't done Umrah, we'll give them. And that's as we read in Surah Baqarah, that if you're prevented from reaching the Kaaba, then this is what you do. No one budged, just out of sheer despair. Now this was the first time that the Prophet ﷺ had ever been confronted with such a situation where he had given the command and the companions didn't listen. Now they didn't listen out of rebellion, it was just that they were so shocked by what had happened to them. So he went back to his tent and he told Hazrat Salima, and this was again we see a proof of his trust in his wife, that he didn't just say, well, I'll solve this on my own. He went back and consulted her. He said, they're not listening to me, what should I do? And you can imagine his pain at that point. And Umm Salima gave him such wise advice. She said, go back and start yourself, and when they see you, they'll follow. And this was what happened. But still the Muslims were reeling from the shock. In fact, we find that a person of the caliber of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu actually came to Hazrat Abu Bakr. He said, is he not the Prophet of Allah? Are we not Muslims? How can this happen to us? Why is something so unfair being allowed to happen? And Hazrat Abu Bakr tried to calm him down. But Hazrat Umar was so upset, and that he went to the Prophet ﷺ and said to him, are you not the Prophet of Allah? Why are we being made to suffer like this? And the Prophet ﷺ told him that I am the Messenger of Allah, and Allah does not break His promise to His messengers. And then these verses were revealed. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We have given you a clear victory. Now you read this ayat and you think, how? How is it a clear victory? That they had to watch a fellow Muslim being taken back. They had to return without having had the joy of doing Umrah. The Kafirs had won out on every point. How was it a victory for them? This is where Iman bil Ghaib comes in. We find that this was the first time that the Muslims were acknowledged by the Kafirs as a government, as a power to be reckoned with. Before that, they used to just dismiss them. Oh, this is just this minority group that we can just wipe out. But this was the first time that the Kafirs thought them worthy of having a pact with. Then we find that these 10 years of peace were very crucial. See, in these 10 years of peace, the Muslims were given time in which to take stock of themselves, in which to build up their resources, build up their economy. And because there was for the first time peaceful interaction between the Muslims and the Kuffar, we find an amazing number of people accepted Islam during this period. So much so that just 2 years later, when Fath Makkah took place, from 1400 companions, there were 10,000 Muslims. Now that's a far cry indeed. Then we find that what happened was that Abu Jandal and another Muslim, the ones who had to be forcibly returned, they managed to escape from the Makkans and they managed to go and settle themselves elsewhere. And there they used to harass any Kafirs who passed by, and they became a fairly strong group themselves. Then we find a few weeks later, a woman became a Muslim in Makkah and she escaped to Medina. Now, when her relatives showed up and said, well, we want her back, the Prophet ﷺ pointed out to them that in the treaty it said that any man from Makkah who became a Muslim, so that woman could not be returned. And we find during this period an amazing number of women converted to Islam. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a message here. What's the message? Asan takrahu shayan wa huwa khayrun lakum. Maybe you dislike something, although it is good for you. وَعَسَّىٰ أَمْ تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا. Maybe you love something. وَهُوَ الشَّرُّ لَكُمْ. Although it is bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. At the end of the day, Allah knows and you do not know. So Allah says, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. We have given you a clear victory. This treaty which seemed humiliating, which seemed unjust, prejudiced against the Muslims, Allah says it's a clear victory. That Allah may forgive you your mistakes of the past and the future, and complete His favor upon you, and guide you on the straight path. And that Allah may help you with a mighty help. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It was He who sent down peace in the hearts of the believers, that they could increase in faith along with their faith. Allah is telling us that Iman is not something that's supposed to remain stagnant. That you think, oh, I've done so much for Allah and now I can take a rest. know Iman is either progressing or we're regressing. And to Allah belong the hosts of the heavens and the earth. And Allah is all-knower, all-wise. لِيُدْخِلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ That He may admit the believing men and women into gardens under which rivers flow, to abide therein forever, and He may expiate from them their sins. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا That is the supreme success with Allah, not our superficial worldly standard. And that He may punish the hypocrites, men and women, and also the mushrikeen, men and women who join others in worship with Allah, who think evil thoughts about Allah. Now why has Allah mentioned the hypocrites over here, and the mushrikeen, and the mushrikat? See, when our faith is weak, when our iman is weak, and something happens that we cannot understand, that we cannot rationalize, that we find it hard to accept, then what do? We start thinking evil thoughts about Allah. See, we find that, for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Hadith Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظُنِّ عَبْدِي بِي I am according to my slave's concept of me. We start saying in problems, oh, I was just born unlucky and Allah isn't listening and Allah doesn't care. People say Allah doesn't wish to guide me, so many times I want to read Salat, but something always goes wrong. Allah says those who think evil thoughts about Allah, not even those who say them aloud, those who think evil thoughts about Allah, for them is a humiliating torment. And upon them is the anger of Allah. وَلَعْنَهُمْ وَأَعْدَّ لَهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ And He has cursed them, and He has prepared hell for them. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا And worst indeed is that destination. When we look at the prophets, we find that whether a prophet was in the darkness of a whale's belly, whether a prophet was at the peak of physical suffering, he'd lost everything. How did they call upon Allah? La ilaha illa anta, subhanaka, glory be to you. Inni kuntu min az-zalimin, I was of the wrongdoers. What does Ayyub alayhi salam say? Rabbi, anni masaniya durru wa anta arhamu rahimin. Pain has touched me, just touched me. But you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. What does Yaqub alayhi salam say? Inna ma ashku basi wa huzni lillah. He tells his sons, don't despair of the mercy of Allah. So the way we call upon Allah when we are in pain reflects the level of our iman. Those who assume that Allah is not going to help them, those who assume that Allah is punishing them, or that they assume that, you know, Allah is being unfair to them, Allah says, and for such people there is no mercy. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Who is it that people try and take on when they say, oh, I'm angry with Allah and I'm not going to pray today and I'm going to ask Allah about this? Who is it that they are taking on? Malikul Muluk, the King of all kings. To Allah belong the armies of the heavens and the earth. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا Allah is almighty. He can punish us if He wills. حَكِيمًا, all wise. If something has happened in our life that we cannot understand, then Allah knows best. God moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. Maybe many years later we realize that that thing actually happened for our own benefit. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا Indeed, we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as a witness. His first function as a witness, to convey this Islam to us, to hand this torch on to us, and now we are the witnesses. وَمُبَشِّرًا And the bringer of glad tidings. See Allah's joyous perception of Islam, that you don't start by frightening people, you start by giving them good news, by encouraging them, by inviting them to Allah. وَنَذِيرًا And as a warner, because Islam is a balanced religion. Allah doesn't say, well, sin if you want and I'll forgive you everything. مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا Good news and warnings. In order that you, O mankind, may believe in Allah and His Messenger, and that you assist and honor Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that you glorify Allah's praises morning and afternoon. What was the message of all the prophets? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ Fear Allah and obey me. That reverence is for Allah, worship is for Allah. What is the means of worship? That's the means of the sunnah. La ilaha illallah means we love Allah above all. We fear Allah above all. We obey Allah above all. How do we obey Allah? Muhammadur Rasulullah. By the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله يد الله فوق أيديهم. Indeed, those who are giving a pledge to you, who were giving a pledge to you, they were giving a pledge to Allah. The hand of Allah was over their hands. Then whosoever breaks his pledge breaks it only to his own harm, and whosoever fulfills what he has covenanted with Allah, he will bestow on him an awesome reward. What pledge is this? This is the pledge that has already been mentioned, Bay'atul Ridwan. That when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared that Hazrat Usman had been killed, and he took a pledge from the Muslims underneath the tree. And what was the pledge? That we will fight them till the death if they have truly killed our man. Now if you think about it, look at the way Allah speaks of that scene. Indeed, those who were taking that pledge from you, they were taking a pledge from Allah. Yadullahi fawqa aydihim. Subhanallah. Allah's hand was over their hands. What honored people, what lucky people, to have Allah's hand over their hands. Now it's not for us to say, well, what does Allah's hand look like and could they feel it, could they sense it? This is a mutashabihat, an ayat in which we believe, we accept, but we don't speculate. And we don't start discussing and arguing and saying, no, I want to know the exact meaning. It's an ayat that's shrouded in mystery, and our response has to be, we accept it and we believe in it, without questioning it. Allah's hand was over their hands. Then whoever breaks his pledge, breaks it only to his own harm. And whoever fulfills what he has covenanted with Allah, فَسَيُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. He will bestow on him an awesome reward. Now the Muslims weren't even called upon to fulfill this pledge, because Hazrat Usman was still alive. But still see the way Allah loved them. For that instant response of theirs to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he asked them to make the pact. سَيَقُولُ لَكَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ. Those of the Bedouins who lagged behind will say to you, our possessions and our families occupied us, so ask forgiveness for us. Now the significant word here is who lagged behind. How many times is it that we stay behind from obeying Allah? Out of sheer laziness. And what's the excuse? Oh, my children keep me busy. And my family and my household chores don't let me get away. So this is an excuse that's not new. Those of the Bedouins who lag behind will say to you, our possessions and our families occupied us, so ask forgiveness for us. They say with their tongues what is not in their hearts. These were just excuses. Say, who then has any power at all to intervene on your behalf with Allah if He intends you hurt or intends you benefit? بَلْكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. No, but Allah is fully aware of what it is that you do. No, but you thought that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the believers would never return to their families, and that was made beautiful in your hearts. The true reason was their fright and their cowardice. And you thought an evil thought, and you became a people destroying themselves. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِي. Whoever does not believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People say, oh, is belief in Allah enough? No. Iman in Allah and His Messenger. Then indeed we have prepared for the disbelievers a blazing fire. Do you doubt that? Does that seem unfair? وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Remember, who is it that you're taking on? To Allah belongs the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth. He forgives whom He wills, and He punishes whom He wills. He alone is Maliki al-Nadeen. He's not given us, any of us, this authority. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Those who lagged behind will say, when you set forth to take the spoils, and this is a reference to the Battle of Khaybar, which was a very easy battle for the Muslims, allow us to follow you. The hypocrites will try and come forward for this, because they will see that this is an easier war to fight. They want to change Allah's words. Tell them, you shall not follow us. Thus Allah has said beforehand. Then they will say, no, you envy us. No, but they do not understand except a little. Say to the Bedouins who lagged behind, You shall be called to fight against a people given to great warfare. Then you shall fight them or they shall surrender. Then if you obey, Allah will give you a fair reward. But if you turn away as you turned away before, يُعَذِّبْكُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. He will punish you with a painful torment. لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ. No blame or sin is there upon the blind. Nor is there blame upon the lame. Nor is there blame upon the sick that they go not for fighting. See, Allah looks at the sincerity in a person's heart. But at the same time, we find there were Muslims that despite their physical disabilities, they were still eager to take part in battle. We look at Amr ibn al-Jamuh radiallahu anhu, who was lame, an old man. He had four sons who were grown up and they were taking part in the battle of Uhud. And they said, don't fight, O father, because you're lame. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet also told him that you don't need to fight because you're lame. And he said, don't you understand? I want to enter Jannah with this lame leg of mine. I want to limp into paradise. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, He will admit him to gardens underneath which rivers flow. And whoever turns back, He will punish him with a painful torment. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Again Allah reminds us of that scene of iman, of sincerity. Indeed Allah was pleased with the believers when they gave the pledge to you under the tree. See, what is all our life about? Trying to please Allah. And these believers were so fortunate. One pledge and Allah says, indeed Allah was pleased with you. We achieved something we spent our whole lives trying to gain. Allah was pleased with the believers when they gave the pledge to you under the tree. Why? He knew what was in their hearts. It was sincerity. They weren't just saying words, not just eloquent words and not prepared to do anything. He knew what was in their hearts. So He sent down peace upon them and He rewarded them with a near victory and abundant spoils that they will capture. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. Allah has promised you abundant spoils that you will capture, and He has hastened for you this, and He has restrained the hands of men from you, that it may be a sign for the believers. وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمًا. And that He may guide you to the straight path, and other victories which are not yet within your power. Indeed, Allah encompasses them. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا. And Allah is all able to do all things. See, this surah started with the pact of Hudaybiyah when the Muslims feared loss and the Muslims saw humiliation, and look how Allah is rewarding them. That no, don't be taken in by the superficial appearance of things. Nothing but victory awaits you from now. And if those who disbelieve fight against you, they would certainly have turned their backs. Then they would have found neither a protector nor a helper. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ. That has been the way of Allah already with those who passed away before, and you will not find any change in the way of Allah. And He it is who has withheld their hands from you and your hands from them in the midst of Makkah after He had made you victors over them. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. And Allah is watching what you do. They are those who disbelieved and hindered you from the sacred mosque and detained the sacrificial animals from reaching their place of sacrifice. One of the most painful things for the Muslims was that they had to turn back, that they couldn't perform Umrah. So Allah says, I know how much it hurt you. Had there not been believing men and believing women whom you did not know, that you may kill them, and on whose account a sin would have been committed by you without your knowledge, that Allah might bring into His mercy whom He wills. If they had been apart, we would indeed have punished those of them who disbelieved with a painful torment. And this is very beautiful. Allah says that what was the reason that Allah didn't simply tell you to kill them or to fight against the Meccans and force your way? In that there were many secret Muslims in Makkah of whom the Muslims did not know of. So maybe if they had been fighting in Makkah, maybe some innocent people would have died as well. When those who disbelieved had placed in their hearts pride and haughtiness, the pride of the days of ignorance. Pride belongs to ignorance. And Allah sent down His peace upon His Messenger and upon the believers and made them cling to the word of Allah consciousness, and they were worthy of it. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. And Allah is the all-knower of everything. لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين. Indeed, Allah has fulfilled the vision which He showed to His Messenger. See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a dream that they were doing Umrah, and after this happened, the Muslims were shocked, and some of them questioned, "But surely a Prophet's dreams are true. How is it that his dream wasn't fulfilled?" So Allah responds to them with love and reassurance. Indeed, Allah shall fulfill the vision which He had showed to His Messenger. Certainly you shall enter the sacred mosque, if Allah wills, in peace, some having your head shaved and some having your hair cut short, having no fear. He knew what you did not know, and He granted besides that a near victory. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. It is Allah who has sent His Messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, that He may make it superior to all religions. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And all sufficient is Allah's witness. Even if people don't acknowledge, even if people don't accept, Allah is enough as a witness. مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. And those who are with Him. We too are amongst those who are with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who support his cause, are harsh against the disbelievers, and merciful amongst themselves. And we are the opposite. We are harsh, we despise the Muslims, and we suck up to the non-Muslims. You see them ruk'an, sujjadan, bowing, and falling down, prostrate, seeking bounty from Allah and His good pleasure. Bowing down before Allah, doing sajda and qiyam, especially in the hours of the night when all are sleeping. Allah loves tahajjud, and Allah loves those who do tahajjud. Allah says, "See mahum fi wujuhihim min asaris sujood." Their marks are on their faces from the traces of sajda. Now this could refer to the mark that some people have on their foreheads through excess of sajdas, but it's not just that. It's the noor. It's the radiance on the faces of people who regularly read tahajjud with love and sincerity for Allah, and who try to be Allah in all others. See, we find that once the Prophet ﷺ's grandson Hazrat Hassan was asked, "How is it that people who spend much of the night in prayer look so beautiful?" And you know what he said? He said, "It is because they have been alone with the All-Merciful, who covers them with light from His light." You see their marks on their faces. This noor, this radiance comes from Allah and Allah alone. ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَةِ. This is their description in the Torah. And the description in the Injil is like a sown seed which sends forth its shoot, then makes it strong and becomes thick, and it stands straight on its stem. كَلِمَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٌ. A pure word is like a pure tree, a beautiful evergreen tree, giving shade to all, standing firm, not falling, not faltering, delighting the sowers that He may enrage the disbelievers with them. وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Allah has promised those among them who believe and do good deeds forgiveness and an awesome reward.